uncontrollable demon they didn't wanna see. Please. That was Skepta with Hypocrisy. It is almost 2 o'clock. You're listening to Tools on the Midday Show, and I have got a special guest in the building. I have got, now, how do I can't say your name. Do I say madam or?
No.
Grace Ladaja is here. And I asked that because, of course, you have got an MBE. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
That is pretty, pretty big. So for our listeners who aren't quite familiar with what an MBE stands for, it is basically a special recognition from the royal family, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And it stands for the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. So you were recognised for your work within the music industry, of
Correct.
Course. Yeah. Yep. And if you were listening closely to the song Hypocrisy, Skepta, who you manage, he rejected his MBE. Yes, no? That's the story we got.
Yes, no, I don't know. He wrote in a lyric. Listen to the song.
Okay, all right then. So welcome, welcome, welcome. You have been here for a little while now because you were part of the organisers for the homecoming event, the sort of three-day event that happened over the Easter weekend.
Yeah.
All right, so before we talk about that, we're going to talk a little bit about you. Yeah. And you have been in the music industry, really in the UK for quite a while, right?
Like 3 years.
3 years. Okay. Oh, that's not... Wow, and you got an MBE. That's amazing. So tell us a little bit about you.
So I started off in filmmaking. I started as a documentary filmmaker and did some music videos. And like worked with some people like FKA Twigs. I worked on a lot of like documentaries about like coming of age people in different cities. Did loads of brand films, and then I also at that time was consulting for a brand called Supreme. Supreme's like a big streetwear brand. Mm-hmm. So I was working with them on their launch of their European division, and then that's how I met Skepta, actually, because I booked him for an event that Supreme were doing. And we just became friends immediately, and he just left his record label and was just like going for a new, that was when That's Not Me came out. So he was going for a new chapter, and then we just became friends and we started helping build together, and the rest is history, really.
Okay, sorry, our mic is going a bit crazy, but we can still hear you. Right, so I mentioned Homecoming. This was like the second installment, right?
So this is the second installment of Homecoming, and I'm so sad that Greatness Dex is not here, because he's like a huge part of Homecoming, and Skepta, and obviously Wizkid, like it started.
Yeah,
there were lots
of people that were part of Homecoming.
Yeah.
The first time it was for one night.
Yes.
And this time it was for over 3 days.
Yes.
Right? So why did you, first of all, what is the big idea behind Homecoming, and why was it 3 days this time?
So the big idea is like to create a sort of exchange between like artists from the UK or across the world that like have an impact or influence in Nigeria in the music or from heritage or whatever. And we all came together because we all have the same heritage and do a clear exchange between like artists and talent here. But everyone's on the same level. There's no hierarchy. There's no like we're coming to your city to try and do something. It's all like intertwined, and like everyone is whole holistically on the same level. And it's really important that that is recognized, because there's such a hierarchy here.
Mm.
And it's quite disturbing for us that like, you know, like the different artists, like everything.
Don't mix with other artists.
It's really strange to me, because it should be down to like sheer talent.
Mm.
And that's what it was about.
And it's not just about music, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. So over the 3 days, what happened for people that perhaps missed it?
We had a pop-up shop for 2 days at AAF, African Artists Foundation. That's actually where we did the first homecoming show. So we brought some brands from global brands or brands from the globe to Nigeria to exchange with the local brands here and kind of create a dialogue in the same space. So everyone split their space with different brands. So you had an area and like, you know, your communities collided, and it was really amazing, because we had a brand like Off-White with like Vivendi and like Waffles and Cream with Pata. And you've got all these people that are like-minded in the same space. And it was just phenomenal to see.
Now, there was a concert, of course.
Yes.
There was a concert, Skepta headline. You had Wizkid, you had Tiwa. How did you go about picking selecting the artist that you wanted to perform on the night?
There's a lot of ways, and like Dex was heavily involved in that part of it, because it's mainly like artists we have a good relationship with that should come first, because that means we've got a similar vision. And also we wanted to work with artists that were progressive. So we had a lot of like the new gen artists like Wavy, Odinsi, Santi. Yeah. These are artists that I really love. We all really love
it. Do they have a fairly big fan base in the UK?
No, not necessarily. Okay. But we've seen them here and we're like, whoa, these are like the next generation. They're the equivalent to like the
leaders
J-Huss
of the new school.
Jay Huss, Notes, and all these new gen artists that are really like, you know, independently breaking their own boundaries. And it's really interesting.
Why is a cultural exchange in the industry so important?
Because we, if you think about the journey that Skepta took in the UK, that was all about like dispelling this illusion of the music industry running the industry. Do you know what I mean? He runs, he's independent. He does everything how he wants to do it himself. There's no hierarchy within him. He can do what he wants and be freely. And that's something that he managed to really had impact on in the industry. And a lot of the new artists from the UK could follow that and do that. And I think that that exchange means that like culturally everything becomes together. So like you could be into music, but you're also into fashion, and all of these elements of you become, it's all about you. So someone like Wavy the Creator, she should have a fashion line, she could be a model, like she could do so many things, but a music label will suppress that. So she needs to have the tools to know
and
that,
the freedom to do whatever she wants to. Yeah.
So
I'm sure you know of Lady Donnelly then.
Oh yes.
Yeah, she was on my show. She was on my show a little while ago,
and I really really want to hang out with her.
Okay, all right.
Really inspiring.
Do you want me to send a DM on your behalf?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about being a woman in the industry. I know I've been, you know, doing this for a few years, and I know the issues or the challenges that I encountered. Is that the same? Is it the same thing for you? Has it been an easy ride, or have you found it quite difficult?
There's a few things that I've found interesting about this conversation is that maybe because I'm surrounded by men that really embrace me and really, really push me. And like I feel protected, maybe I don't feel it as much as maybe other women. Imagine I'm really working with some really alpha males. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
And I feel like really strong in that group. I don't feel like I'm a woman. I never even recognize my sex in that position. But maybe outside of that, there's a bigger conversation to be had about like how the industry does treat women and how difficult it is maybe for women to break through. Luckily, I broke through on a partnership level with my team. Everyone sees me as an equal, and I'm very blessed and lucky and thankful for that. So I always say to people, like, try and align with people that really you really get on with, or you that really like you. If you look at Wavy in her group, she's definitely on the level, on the, like she's with Santi and all those guys, but they're all on the same level. No one's like, Wavy's the girl. Like, it just it seems like they're all balanced. So when you're working in something, try and align it with people that really recognize your talents.
Have you been in a situation where you've been treated, this is obviously within the industry, have you been in a situation where you've been treated differently purely because you're a woman?
Yes. I feel like that happens mostly here, actually.
So it happens more in Nigeria than in the UK? Else.
Yeah. In the UK, absolutely fine. People respect that I'm a woman and I've done this or whatever.
So what happened here?
Here, it's just like there's a way that people think they, you know, like I'm constantly called a small girl, you know.
Are you serious?
Which is like, are you joking? Is that because I'm petite or what is it? Do you know what I mean?
And you need like, to tell them about your MBE.
It doesn't matter to me because I know who I am. Do you know what I mean? I know what I'm doing. I know that I was part of this amazing journey with these other guys that did something really incredible. I know that we were the first people to bring Nike here. Do you know what I mean? Which is a massive thing. Like, we managed to partner with Native Magazine on like a football tournament. Shout out TZ Shaney and all of those guys that helped to bring that to life for us. Like, we've done so many things to like progress here. So someone calling me a small girl is not a big deal to me.
So it doesn't bother you?
It doesn't bother me.
Okay, all right, good. I'd be best. All right, so you mentioned a few, you know, collaborations and a few, you know, projects that you worked on. You mentioned Nike, Off-White, Pata. How does the conversation go when you approach these brands and you say, okay, this and this is what we do? How do you convince them? How do you get them to see your vision?
I think that is, again, this is another thing that people should learn in general. Like, you should be saying something really interesting. So we've always had something to say. We've always been doing something interesting. We've been doing something progressive. So brands are automatically interested in working with us. it's not the other way around. So we've had this relationship. Like, I've had a relationship with Nike for
so over. They have something to gain from you, of course.
They, it's more like they want something from us than you want something from them.
I see.
So you have to make your stuff popping. Like, you should be popping. If you want to be the, like, get on, you love denim and da-da-da-da-da, like, make everything you do be about that and make it the best it can be. Then they're going to come to you, I guarantee it, because ultimately they need people to champion them, to, do you know what I mean?
And that is... And do you feel that a lot of these brands right now are really, really focusing on the quote-unquote urban scene?
Yes.
Yeah.
We are the, like, some in the UK, the sound of the streets is Afrobeats. Like, that is it. And some, I had an argument with someone because they called the music industry that I work in the You Get Me blood type. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, these people are paying hundreds of thousands of people salaries. They've got their friends off the streets. Like, these are people that are really progressing this country. You know? They're giving people jobs. They're giving people opportunity. They're giving people hope, aspiration, a future. It's incredible.
Okay. And what's next for the... I was going to say the homecoming concert, but I feel it's more like a movement now.
It is. And I think that there's a lot that we want to do in education. So we started, like Skept actually opened this studio in London called Selby Studios, which we worked together on. And I kind of think that we should do something similar here. It was like a course of, like, 12 weeks where you could learn how to bring up music independently.
Okay,
I think
that's
people
could
really benefit with understanding how that happens somewhere else, and they can start thinking like that from an early age.
Okay, so are we going to see the homecoming movement in other countries other than UK and Nigeria?
Oh my God, the guys went to Johannesburg and they were saying people were screaming for it. So let's have a conversation about that. I need to regroup with Dex and Skeppy and see what's next, actually.
Okay. All right. And a little bit more about you. So your father was a former governor of Oyo State. Do you feel that having him, you know, be in that position, do you think it helped with your career at all?
Absolutely not.
Or was he not involved at all?
Me and my father met when I was an adult. He's had no impact on my life. I was raised by a single mum in the UK. My mother, like, sacrificed everything to make me who I am. Like, I met my dad as an adult. We're friends now. We're cool, but there's nothing.
He had absolutely no influence.
Absolutely no influence on what I'm doing. And we're cool with that. We're both fine with that. Like,
we accepted
it. There's a lot of things that with parenting, it's a really tough thing to do.
Yeah.
But if you can find peace with your parents and, like, be friends with them, I'd urge anyone to do that. But we're really cool. But in terms of who I am, he can't take credit for that, unfortunately.
Okay. And when you told your mum, you know, this is what I want to do, was your mum kind of like, okay, I'd like you to be a doctor, lawyer, accountant, or...
My mum just always had... My mum has passed away, rest in peace. But she always had, like, a really clear understanding of who I was. She knew that I was going to do something. I pushed, like, I knew her struggle, and we always supported each other. We had an amazing friendship, and I always knew that. She knew that I'd do something good, and I was quite a selfless person. So she always, like, encouraged me to, like, do what I thought was best for me. So.
Okay. And last question, because we have got the MTN Digital Program coming up in just a few moments. What would you like your legacy to be?
Just to, like, champion youth, like, the future, like, be part of what's happening in the future. That's all I want to be part of. I want to be, like, in that zone.
And,
like,
do you want to be known for, like, change? And
some sort of change that happened for the people that are going to come next, you know, like, and making sure that they've got, like, a clear space to create, work, live in, and thriving, because it wasn't so easy for us.
I know I said last question, but this is my last question. This is my last question. So your MBE, has it helped you get your foot into like, maybe if you want to go to a very, very exclusive restaurant, do you say great MBE?
No, I've never said it. I've never used it, actually. Award,
I mean, if you don't want it, I'll take
it. It's on the 18th of May, so maybe after that then I will maybe use it. But you know, it's a great thing. I didn't know whether I was going to accept it or not, etc. It's kind of like, I have massive problems with the British Empire, but ultimately we went on a journey and we did something great for our country. So I feel like it was good for young people to see that we're from the streets. And just like,
I know,
else,
I think over the last few years, because obviously, you know, when I was growing up in the UK, you didn't really see a lot of black people get MBEs and OBEs and everything. So over the last few years, it's just been amazing seeing that. And I feel that it kind of makes the, like, if I was a 13-14 year old, I'd feel more accepted.
I always think more that. Accepted. I remember my 13-15 year old self, and I think of, if I saw myself, how much quicker maybe I would have done something.
Yeah. You know I mean? I remember I, like when I was 13, 14, seeing a black person on EastEnders was a big thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, black people, great. And it was given to you by Prince William, right? Was it
no,
Prince
it's I'm getting on the 18th of May.
Oh, sorry, that's what you said, yeah.
Because it's 2 days after Harry's wedding, so they might be hungover.
Are you invited to the wedding?
Huh?
Are you going to the wedding?
I'm not going to the wedding.
Checking. I just thought maybe, I don't know, maybe because of your title,
I
you
feel
might
like that wedding is going to be lit, though.
It is going to be lit. Somebody told me that because, you know, Prince Harry, yeah. There's going to be jollof rice at the
I
wedding.
I bet there's going to be some
and some nice chicken. I'm hoping so. Thank you so much for stopping by. It has been very interesting talking to you.
Yeah.
And best of luck with the homecoming movement.
Thank you.
It'd be great to see it like go across Africa and across the world. I think there's definitely scope for things like this, and like you said, you know, getting rid of the hierarchy in the industry is a fantastic thing. So when's the next one? I didn't ask that. When's the next
Watch
one?
Watch this space.
Okay. And how can people find out about the homecoming movement, like the next
like
dates?
BBK Africa hashtag. You can see our homecoming website. You can find it. Everything okay. about it there.
And your social media?
Grace Ladoja.
Okay. All right. That's Ladoja. A big shout out to your brother, Shola. He owes me Brussels sprouts. I hope he's listening. He runs Simply Green and he's fantastic. He just gives me like juices all the time. So big shout out to him. All right, then. I have got Olamide and Skepta coming up next. Straight after that, we've got the MTN Digital Program. This is Tools on the Midday Show. Stick around. I still have more clues for Guess the Movie.